Hey everyone, it's James and welcome to the Notorious Banker Podcast. 3,170 amazing followers at Twitter at BankBetterGuy. Dozens more subscribe to me at patreon.com/notoriousbanker, where for as little as a $1 a month contribution, you could help me, the Notorious Banker, fight back against big banks. And listen to this, 8,750 plus amazing followers on TikTok at Notorious Banker. We have cracked the 12,000 follower threshold on social media for the Notorious Banker. Guys, thank you so very, very much. I really do appreciate it. And of course, I'm the author of Please Try Your Call Again Later, My Journey Through Customer Service Hell for Pandemic Relief, available on Amazon in paperback and in ebook form. Portion of the proceeds go to good causes as well. I describe my amazing journey through hell and back to get unemployment benefits that were given to us by the pandemic, of course, and I tell amazing stories about what I went through and the stress involved in that. I know I spent a minute every podcast, you know, just vouching for myself, vouching for my work. And I do apologize about that, but I'm really proud of what I do. Hitting the 12,000 threshold on social media is really big. It's gone up a lot in the last couple of months. And I really do have TikTok to thank for that. Twitter is always there. Twitter is my number one go-to for discussing things professionally. But you know what? In order to get a point across, you have to be entertaining. Working in a bank, it's not as stodgy as you think it is. You got to have a personality. You got to have charm. You got to have something that's different than most other people in order to sell accounts. And that's just a fact of nature there. But of course, you know that I just have a disdain for banks as it is now. And this is why I'm doing a podcast. And this is why I wrote a book, and this is why I want to write another book, and this is why I want to do a screenplay about my life in banking. It's all going to happen in 2022. I really do believe it. You know, fortune favors the lucky sometimes, and I am a very, very lucky man. I'm a very happy man. A couple things I wanted to mention. I did get some good feedback about the Bank of America Lowering Overdraft Fees podcast, the last one I did, and you know what? I'm happy that some people are happy that Bank of America is lowering the fee. I'm not for one second going to say, well, that, you know, lowering it from 35 to 10 is ridiculous. It should go to zero. Well, yeah, of course I said that. But at the same time, I am aware of the fact that $25 that is not being taken away from a customer who needs the money is a big thing too. I did commend Bank of America for at least taking a step in the right direction. Now they need to take one more step forward and get rid of that shit altogether. Period. End of story. And a lot of you echo that sentiment. They're saying, hey, you know what? We're going to give credit where credit is due. But at the same time, they don't need that. They earned a $7 billion profit this quarter. If they got rid of overdraft fees altogether, they probably would have still made a $7 billion profit somehow. I'm just, you know, opining on that. But, you know, there's a lot going on with that. TikTok blowing up. I want to just say before I get too, you know, in the weeds with all the social media crap, I did have a video, my phone charger Bank of America story hit 1 million views on TikTok. It's now actually at 1.15 million views. Just an astounding amount of time wasted on my content, on these little funny stories that I've gathered over the years. I'm really appreciative of the people who listen to this podcast who have found me on TikTok as well. And one of the stories that I posted on TikTok, I'm actually going to talk about on the podcast, and that's about a story in San Francisco where a lady was stolen. You know, she had $10,000 of money stolen from her bank account for a one-mile cab ride. And Bank of America, just like I've told you for 13 years of working there, showed their true colors and not helped her until a San Francisco Chronicle reporter told her story. And Bank of America, like the dogs that they are, finally refunded her. I'm going to get into that story. And some of the things were just kind of weird about it. And some of the things that just made that story just unique, you know, totally. And then we're going to talk about Wells Fargo wanting to join in with the cool kids and getting rid of some fees, although they didn't get rid of the overdraft fee. I'm going to discuss what exactly is going on over there. It's weird because, you know, you put out a press release saying we're doing something for the public. And then all of a sudden, you look deep down, and you're like, you didn't really do anything. So I'm going to get into that. And then one final thing I want to talk about really quickly at the end of it. Bank of America ended its relationship with Major League Baseball this month, and Major League Baseball is actually taking their logos, their intellectual property over to Capital One, and they're going to have Capital One branded cards with Major League teams on there. And, you know, there's a lot with that that I can talk about that's really, really boring, but I'm going to tell you from the banker level, from the one-on-one, face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball opening accounts for people, What a devastating blow that is for Bank of America bankers. And I don't normally feel bad for those people because I was one myself. But I got to tell you, their job just got one notch harder on the difficulty scale. But guys, thank you so much for everything. Please subscribe to TikTok Notorious Banker at BankBetterGuy on Twitter. Check out all my links at thenotoriousbanker.com. My book link is there as well. I really do appreciate you listening to this podcast. 3.5 years of doing this, over 170 of these podcasts, you know, they get kind of tedious at times. It's kind of hard to just sit here for 2 hours when I got a lot of things on the fires, helping people, creating content for people about banks and stuff, discussing with people. And that's one of the things that I do on social media. I'm very active on Twitter and very active on TikTok. So if you comment on my stuff, I will comment back to you. And if you're hateful, I'll probably be hateful back to you. I had to block a few people who for some reason just seem to be ardent defenders of Bank of America. I mean, I don't know why the fuck you want to donate your time to defending a $250 billion cap bank, for God's sakes. But whatever. I mean, you know, haters come with the territory, and I'm fine with that. I also had a Bank of America regional manager on TikTok basically call me a liar about a couple of my stories, and I screenshotted his information. If something comes back to bite me in the ass, well, I will gladly reciprocate with a complaint on that gentleman as well. But enough about social media and stuff. I'm going to talk about the things that I love, although one of them is based on a TikTok story. Did I say TikTok story that I did about a San Francisco woman who got scammed out of $10,000 by a cab company and then Bank of America until a San Francisco Chronicle reporter fought for her and got that money back? That's typically James B. territory, but Carolyn said of the San Francisco Chronicle did an amazing job. So after this brief promotional consideration, we're going to talk about that story because it's got a lot of traction on TikTok. It's got a lot of traction on my social media when I talk about it. And I'll have more about that right after this, so please stick around. Potential sponsors, my name is James Baca, also known as the Notorious Banker. I am the host, creator, and proprietor of the Notorious Banker Project. I am also a consumer advocate who helps customers solve complex financial issues. I would love to have you as a sponsor of my content. The Notorious Banker has a critically acclaimed podcast of the same name, listened to by 10,000 people an episode, and we also have a very active Twitter community with thousands of posts monthly, creating millions of impressions and engagement per month. Also, a burgeoning young adult fan base on TikTok at Notorious Banker with 5,700 loyal followers and growing. I am looking for a dedicated sponsor who will help my project grow and will also let me be a loyal advocate for your company or product. 13 years in a financial institution has given me sales skills, which will help me promote your company as I continue my journey into bettering financial lives. Ad packages are as affordable as $10 cost per mil, which includes cross promotion on my social media channels, podcasts, and any direct promotion desired by you. Please contact me at james@thenotoriousbanker.com or go to thenotoriousbanker.com/sponsorship for more details. Let's enlighten the amazing follower base of The Notorious Banker with your product, my podcast, and our goal to better our followers' financial lives. Thank you so much. All right, we're back with more Notorious Banker podcast. So, you know, we always talk about these horror stories that Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase, and Citi have with their customers, and it's par for the course for me. I'm so used to it. I could talk about this for hours and hours. And I mean, hey, that's why I do what I do here, for God's sakes. But seeing how other people react for the first time when Bank of America does something like this, it always just stuns me that, you know, the belief is there with most people, and I'm dealing with this now on social media, that, oh yeah, banks are, you know, here to help the customer and so on and so forth. They're really not. They're in it to make money. They are not charities. I used to tell customers this. I was like, you got to understand that this company is not a charity. They're looking to, you know, make sure that their bottom line is all straight, and they want to make sure that they make the most money possible. That's just being part of an American. But a lot of the times they have tactics, you know, big banks have tactics where it seems like their whole job is to just, you know, not believe their customer or to find some way to skim out on the bill. You know, it's like the old, you know, oh, the check for the restaurant's coming. Oh, I got to go to the restroom. I'll be right back. And, you know, we'll take care of the bill then. And then you're, you know, there for an extraordinary long time in the bathroom. And all of a sudden the person you're with just finally says, fuck it, and I'll pay for it. And I was like, oh, you didn't have to do that. You liar. You just didn't want to pay for it. That's why you went to the bathroom at an opportune time for you. So there's all these things going on with, you know, banks and stuff that we always talk about on Notorious Banker and on Twitter and now on TikTok. And it just stuns me that people just don't know these stories anymore. And one of them just blew my mind last week, and it was something that got traction last week. I posted about it on Twitter. I was able to tweet at the reporter, Carolyn Sett of the San Francisco Chronicle, about my opinion about what happened. But needless to say, Bank of America, once again, is on my shit list for something like this. The title of the story is, this woman got charged $10,000 for a one-mile cab ride in San Francisco. When she disputed the bill, things got even more outrageous. I mean, that tells you all you need to know in the headline. Sometimes, you know, a headline is supposed to grab you. That one just choked the hell out of me because, frankly, I knew what was going on before I even read the article. So this is what happened. Margarita Becker, a San Francisco resident, took a 1.1-mile cab ride. It took 11 minutes to a rooftop birthday party. She paid via credit card using the driver's PayPal terminal after the cab's built-in device couldn't read her card. So, of course, you know, taxi cabs have credit card machines. Most of them do now. It wasn't working, so the driver said, hey, let me use my PayPal swiper. And the meter showed it was a $7.90 fare, and she always adds 25%, so it was $9.87 for her ride. 1.1 miles for $10. You can tell that this person has a lot of money. I'm not judging. I'm just saying that $10 for a mile is a lot, and I just wouldn't pay that much. Says the driver said that she'd be emailed a receipt, which never happened. You know, cut to a few days later when stuff actually posts to your account. She found out that she got charged $9,875 for that trip. It's 1,000 times more than what it actually was. You know, and then according to the article, which was written by Carolyn said, and the way that she wrote it was just perfect, said it seemed like an obvious mistake that the driver must have entered in extra digits either accidentally or deliberately. She called Bank of America, her credit card issuer, to report fraud. Eventually, the bank said it wasn't fraud since she had proffered the credit card herself and she must file a billing dispute, which she did. And then this is what Bank of America said when they denied Ms. Becker her $9,000 claim. Bank voice here. After reviewing the documentation, we found that the amount you were billed was calculated correctly. Bullshit. Okay, so before I continue with the story, let me just kind of tell you what happens. This whole, it's not fraud, it's a billing dispute. Well, a billing dispute is fraud, okay? If someone says, hey, it costs this much, and then a couple of minutes later says it costs that much, that's a fraud. They contacted you with false terms, and now they're basically changing the terms. To me, that's the definition of fraud. You know, fraud is thrown around a lot, you know, these days, and I'm not one to just kind of just throw it around like nothing, but that is fraud, okay? That is deception at that point. And Bank of America itself should know this because they teach their employees to talk about fraud and to look for fraud and so on and so forth. So they're putting it on her saying it's a billing dispute. And, you know, she filed a billing dispute with the bank saying, hey, I'm going to try to contact the cab company. And they came to find out that the cab driver was an independent contractor, not an employee of the cab company. So the cab company had nothing to do with it. They didn't have her money. And the driver who used the PayPal swipe herself, well, he got her money. And you know what? With PayPal, and I've had my battles with PayPal, and I have told you before on a podcast 16 years ago, not a 16-year-old podcast, but 16 years ago, before I started at Bank of America, the only reason I started working at Bank of America was because I used PayPal as my primary bank and they froze my funds for 6 months because of the baseball card selling I was doing on eBay was somehow deemed an illegitimate activity. I mean, PayPal's no much better than a bank is, in my opinion. So PayPal wasn't helpful, so of course she went to her bank. That was her only source of, hey, money taken from me was given to these people. And then the bank says, you were charged correctly. So in other words, she was on the hook for $98.75. And then here it says for Becker, 51, a Russian immigrant who does medical interpreting at a local hospital, $10,000 is the equivalent of 3 months' rent and utilities for her Redwood City house. Now, I am a poor New Mexican. My budget for house, electric, DirecTV, cell phone, everything that I do is literally $1,000 a month. This is what allows me to be the Notorious Banker. This is what allows me to be successful at what I do. I don't really have a high, high bill threshold here. I don't have to overcome a lot to pay the bills. It's actually really quite minimal to live in New Mexico. So $10,000 for 3 months, I can go on and on about that, but I won't. She still got money stolen from her, and needless to say, it doesn't matter. It's a first world problem is what's happening here. But the fact of the matter is Bank of America denied the claim, saying it was calculated correctly. And they don't know that because Bank of America does not do the research. What Bank of America does, whenever you file any type of dispute with them, it just sits in a pile, you know, a digital pile, but it sits in a pile. No one ever looks at it. They wait for a few days for that thing to season until they finally say, oh, you know what, we really did our research and we figured out that that was a legitimate charge. Why could they say such a thing for Ms. Becker? Because frankly, this is what happened, okay? They saw that she took cab rides before. They saw that she probably used her credit card and did a $10 cab ride last Thursday or 2 months before or whatever. So basically what Bank of America's fraud department job is to do is to kind of connect dots that aren't there to basically blame you. That way they don't have to, one, pay you the money in case it was determined that it was fraud and they can't recoup it from someone else. And two, basically just pass the buck saying, well, you got to contact the driver, a person who literally committed a crime on you. You got to contact the cab company, who they themselves said they had nothing to do with it. It's everyone else's fault but the banks. And the bank is the one that told you to get this card for your protection. That's the thing that bugs me the most about the way Bank of America handles this thing. And, you know, it says she called the bank many times, often while crying. And I've seen people cry crazy amounts of tears in my office at Bank of America to the fraud department. And they're legitimate tears. It's not a put-on, okay? These are people who are frustrated, and the bank frustrates the shit out of them. Agents told Becker that the merchant, aka the cab driver, said the transaction was legitimate and had a receipt signed by her, although it didn't match the signature on her driver's license. Now, this is kind of cute, okay? So it didn't match the signature on her driver's license, so why didn't the bank match it up against the signature card that she assigned, you know, once, twice, maybe 10 times before at the bank? I'm assuming she's an account holder at Bank of America. If not, she may be an account holder at another big bank. Someone has this woman's signature and has accepted it as her signature. So when it doesn't match, that tells you, you know damn well that they didn't do any research for that. Because you know what? If you sign a signature card when opening an account at Bank of America, and I sign James Baca and I sign it with a big loopy J, which I don't do, and all of a sudden they match it up to the driver's license, which they have in their hand, you know, they view it while opening the account, and they go, this doesn't match. They let their manager know. They put a note in the system saying, hey, this guy signed his name a little bit differently. Just want to alert you, this and that and the other thing. So they were connecting dots that weren't there. You know, they're saying that, hey, he had a receipt signed. And how many times? I just had a bench for a kitchen table delivered about an hour ago to my house here. And I got a little text notification where the FedEx driver says, signed for by, you know, homeowner. And I'm like, I didn't sign shit. I was on my couch eating Flaming Hot Doritos, for God's sakes. So, you know, this type of thing, it's like he said, she said, the people who commit crimes know damn well that the bank is not going to investigate them. Whenever they call and say, hey, we found out that this person says that they claim to have been shorted $10,000 by you or were charged $10,000 by you. Did you do that? No. Okay, works for us. Denied. She launched her own inquiry, spending hours on the phone. And then this is what Margarita Becker said in the interview with Carolyn said on the SF Chronicle website. I'm going to link to in the show notes. Support journalism at all costs. Yes, I understand the San Francisco Chronicle is a huge-ass freaking paper, and they don't need the notorious banker to send people their way. But you know what? A lot of these writers, they get judged by how many link clicks, how many shares, and all that stuff that they have of their content. So take a look at it for Carolyn's sake and for the sake of journalism. This is what Margarita said in the interview. She says, I do not believe that the onus to investigate should be on me. I agree 100%. Bank of America's logic that if a merchant said it is not fraud, it is not fraud. It victimizes people like me even further. Now, this is a person who works in the medical field. This is a person from Russia. And maybe I'm making a big stereotype here, but I've dealt with international students at my former branch all the time. And they are inherently way smarter people than we are, okay? They know the ways of the world. They know bullshit whenever it's right in front of them. They just have a different way of looking at things. And she thinks about it and talks about it so intelligently. So whenever Bank of America tries to one-up her like she's a two-year-old and you throw a blanket over the two-year-old's head and say, oh, hey, where's the baby at? I don't know where it's at. I mean, that's basically what they try to do to customers. And she's like, I'm not having any of this shit. Why do I have to be involved in this interaction? I trusted you with my money. Now you go after the people who took my money. It says she accumulated lots of documents, yellow cab, combed his computer system, and found the ride. And the Google timeline said she'd only been in the car 11 minutes. It says the cab authority for San Francisco said it was clearly an overcharge and contacted the driver to no avail. PayPal told her its only role was to provide the card reader, and the credit card issuer took precedence in handling the case. Of course, PayPal is going to say that. They're a freaking joke, just like Bank of America is. It's just always passing the buck. I called it playing tennis or playing volleyball. It just bounces back and forth, back and forth, back and forth until someone finally kills the play. And that's definitely what's frustrating about this story here. She also says, it seems like everyone except B of A saw that I was overcharged. Still, the only entity that can do anything is B of A. And they keep telling me that the merchant told them it was a correct charge. I will tell you right now, the merchants never get contacted in that. We had merchants as customers at Bank of America. There has been situations where, okay, so let's just say I had a flower shop customer at my Bank of America for the longest time. And I had someone who came to me who was wanting to dispute a charge because they said that the flowers that they got from this particular flower shop were totally shitty. Now, I didn't believe the lady for one second because I know the flower shop to do quality work. And at the same time, she was just kind of one of those serial overdrafter types, you know, one that always just had problems with her account. And believe me, I'm a man of the people. I want to support people all I can, fight back against big banks. But some people do need serious help when it comes to banking. And some people just don't deserve to have a conventional bank account like that. I'm just going to say it that way. But anyway, she filed a claim with the claims department about services not rendered to the flower shop. And then the flower shop guy would come in to see me all the time because he always had wire transfers to do. And then I asked him, I was like, have you gotten any calls from Bank of America in the last couple of weeks? Because he was a sole proprietor. And I just said, have you talked to anyone about anything? I was like, because I got an email that mentioned your name. And he's like, no, should I? And I was like, no, I was just wondering. So he never got contacted about the dispute that the lady had with his flower shop, which tells me that it is bullshit. Trust me, I guarantee you the fraud department does not do that. The fraud department's main goal is to get you off the phone in a prompt manner. Jack Gillis, executive director of the Consumer Federation of America, said Becker was caught between a rock and a hard place. And this is what he said, and this is what I've always said before too. She did everything right and still lost. It's very bizarre that the credit card company would dig in its feet on this, especially when logic indicates that it's an erroneous charge. Unfortunately, she has very little recourse. If she fails to pay, then her credit rating will go down and she'll get into problems. And that's the thing. It's being held hostage by your bank. Your bank is basically telling you, yeah, we don't think it's fraud. Pay us right now, goddammit. That's basically what the bank is saying at that point in time. No logic is in place. $10,000 for a cab ride. What am I, fucking Kanye West? Am I going to pay $10 for a cab ride and leave a $9,900 tip? No, it's not the way that it works. And Bank of America touts itself as a tech company. Well, algorithms are smart. Algorithms can tell me that if I'm searching for something on Google and it stops giving me predictive searches, that is probably something dirty or adult oriented. And there's, you know, there's times where banks should know that, hey, $10,000 from a PayPal transaction, and she's never done a PayPal transaction more than $100 or at all ever. That doesn't sound like Margarita. That sounds like fraud. Can't a computer think even that basic? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's what I never understood. I remember a long time ago, one of my former customers back home in Socorro, he ran a video store in a Mexican restaurant. He accidentally paid $23,000 to his electric bill because he was trying to do $230. And the bank refused to do a stop payment. They said, well, that seems like a legitimate charge. So what you got to do is you got to wait 60 days and then call the electric company and have them refund you the difference. And they'll typically do that. Yeah, it turned into a six-month ordeal. God rest that man's soul. He passed away a few years ago, but I've seen that happen. It's always about, yeah, I don't want to do the work. You know, let someone else do it. You know, there's an episode of The Simpsons where Homer Simpson is trying to run for garbage commissioner, and his slogan is, can't someone else do it? That should be Bank of America's fraud department's slogan is, let someone else figure it out. Go talk to PayPal. Go talk to the cab company. You know, we just are the one that holds your money. We don't really do anything like that, despite the fact of the zero liability guarantee that Bank of America and most major banks say that they provide, where basically is if we determine that there's fraud on your account, you're going to get your money back no matter what. While the same axiom where it's like, hey, who pays for shoplifting? You do. Well, guess what? The bank has to pay for fraud that happens to you if it's determined to be fraud and they can't recoup it. But then the bank can just lie and say, yeah, no, it's not fraud. Yeah, we're not going to pay you. I mean, that's what happened to Margarita in this. And then it goes into like how the cab companies have a built-in system, but that's not the issue here. in Carolyn's article. The article, you know, is about San Francisco cabs and how they're, you know, you lease a cab and all this good stuff. And, you know, I don't want people to hate on the cab company for this, although they are kind of passing the buck too. But their terminal was down and the guy used his terminal. So it was a criminal act. It just happened to be in a third party's car at that point in time. And it says the driver, whom the Chronicle is not naming because he has not been charged with the crime, quote, was uncooperative when Yellow Cab asked him to refund the money. Because at the end of the day, you know, they know who he was, but maybe the PayPal account wasn't in his name. Maybe it's under a fake business ID. It's all circumstantial evidence. And I've often said that, you know, a good criminal could probably steal $1 million through all these banking channels and never get caught because the bank never really researches anyway. Trust me on that. And it says the driver sent a brief reply to an email from the Chronicle claiming that the issue had been resolved. Yeah, I'm sure it had been. And it said the taxi drivers are independent contractors, not employees. Well, same thing with Uber and stuff like that. Like if Uber hires a driver with a criminal record or he commits a crime, is it Uber's fault? Well, yeah, technically, but no. You know what I mean? They can only do so much. They're just the entity that's trying to provide you a service. And they can't be watching everything. You know, I mean, that's my opinion on it. And it says over 3.5 million trips in the past 2 years, the cab company or San Francisco Transit Authority has only had 26 overcharging complaints, none for an amount that high, which ironically enough should make it the ultimate irregular activity at that point in time. And you know, it says, you know, suspending or revoking the driver's permit. I mean, at that point, that driver is like, fuck it, I'm never going to come here again. So if they say I can't drive for them anymore, boo-hoo, I can go freaking dig graves or I can go, you know, pull weeds for people or whatever. That's the way people think, especially people who have that criminal element. I grew up with people like that, so trust me, I know. And then, of course, you know, you just see what happens to people. And 3 months of just frustration, and basically the bank saying, oh yeah, we're working on it, we should provide a decision by X date. And X date is generally 1 or 2 days before the actual drop dead date of the claim. And then they go, yeah, no, we denied the claim. And you have no time to appeal. You have no time to fight back at that point in time. I've seen it. This is the whole reason the Notorious Banker exists, for God's sakes. But of course, this has a happy ending. Much like every other Bank of America story where they're looking like a bunch of fucking idiots. The Chronicle and Carolyn said contacted Bank of America. And Bank of America said that it reached out to Becker and said it had decided not to charge her the money after all. What a bunch of assholes. So, you know, I could just say, hey, Ms. Becker, this is James calling from Bank of America Fraud Claim Services. We have good news. We've determined that the charge was fraudulent and we have reversed the money. You should see it back into your account within 24 to 72 hours. All that smiles and cheerfulness after a bunch of fuck yous were denying you the claim. I mean, that's really how it happens. And this is what a bank rep told Becker and the San Francisco Chronicle. It said it had been reviewing the issue, and Margarita Becker is dubious that it acted without media intervention. Noted she has spent more than 3 months calling, emailing, faxing, mailing, and tweeting to the bank. So the tweeting thing is interesting. I'm on Twitter literally 19 hours a day. I search for every Bank of America and Wells Fargo tweet out there. I didn't see Margarita Becker's tweets on there. I would have. I'm not saying that she didn't tweet at them. I'm just saying maybe she did like a direct message to them immediately instead of putting it out there on blast, because I would have seen this story months ago, and I hate to toot my own horn, but I probably would have got her the money back as well. But you know, 3 months of calling, emailing, faxing, you're hopeless. And I think a lot of the reason why people trust me on Twitter and social media is because they're already at wit's end. They're like, fuck it, this guy can't hurt me any more than the bank already did, and he seems like a nice guy, I'm gonna trust him. And I deliver over $2 million in refunds that I've gotten back for bank customers in the 3+ years I've been doing the Notorious Banker and Vigilante customer service. All I gotta say is, you know, she went through the gauntlet, the ringer, and all she did was just get back her money. She didn't get any damages or anything like that. And who do you turn to whenever your life is turned upside down by this bullshit? And then it says, in a statement to the Chronicle, Bank of America says it investigates disputed transactions and, quote, generally initiates chargebacks, which means it withholds disputed funds from a merchant until an investigation is complete. That is not true, okay? Because it's all instant, okay? Whenever it drafts out of your account, much like their evil Zelle bullshit, it doesn't go from James to the cab driver. It goes from James to PayPal to the cab driver. So there is this whole, you know, intermediate thing that makes it instant. That's the beauty of technology and also the downfall of technology when it comes to banking here as well. Because it says it withholds disputed funds. You can't withhold something that's already in that fucking person's account, okay? I do Ibotta for grocery couponing, and I cash out my money to my PayPal account. It's there instantly. There's no, oh, we want to make sure this is James Baca's PayPal or whatever. No, it's already there by the time I hit the button. So this whole withholds thing, it's bullshit. It's all a lie. Because if they pride themselves on speed and efficiency and all that, there is no point in time where they can withhold. They can request that money back and call a bank or call PayPal and say, hey, can you not make this money available to this other person because there's this whole thing going on over here? No, they don't do that because they don't make calls to other banks, period. And this is what Bank of America said. However, merchants also have the opportunity to dispute a chargeback. In this case, the merchant provided us with a copy of a signed receipt for the transaction, which verified the amount charged. Well, obviously, if she didn't sign something on the phone screen, that dude didn't have a little fucking printer handy to print her out a receipt. So something happened at that point. And someone's lying, and it is the bank at that point, you know, because, you know, the criminal said that everything was resolved. But they said, well, merchants have the opportunity too. It's just like basically saying that criminals have, you know, have feelings too or whatever. No, the bank is basically saying, you know what, as a customer, you're entitled to these rights, but so do merchants. And guess who makes more money for banks? Merchants do. Not necessarily that crooked cab driver, but PayPal and you know, Yellow Cab and all these other companies make a shit ton more money from banks than Margarita Becker ever is going to provide them. So that's why banks always give the other side the benefit of the doubt too. And it sucks. It's not fair. But I understand why Bank of America says that, okay? And just because someone provides a signed receipt for the transaction, that tells me one thing. If I was committing crimes and committing fraud like this, I'm just going to make up a bunch of fake receipts with fake signatures on there. And if that's enough for Bank of America, well, guess what? That's enough for me to scam hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars from people. I'm not going to do that, but I'm just saying, if it's that easy to bullshit a bank who claims to be a tech company who made $7 billion last quarter and whose market cap is over $260 billion, then I think I could take them on. Do you know what I mean? And it says, customers who disagree with the decision, quote, may request a reconsideration and provide additional information, as the client did in this case. She didn't provide anything additional that they didn't already know. What happened was Carolyn said from the San Francisco Chronicle got on their ass, and Bank of America, like the dogs that they are, cowered and gave the lady her money back. And here's the thing that pisses me off about this story more than anything. Yeah, they gave her the money back, her credit card's all fixed. This is what happens when you file a claim on your credit card when something like this happens. Okay, well, we filed a claim, Ms. Becker, for this amount of money. Keep in mind that you must continue to make minimum payments and you must continue to keep your card active in order for us to complete the dispute. So she's probably making a $25 minimum payment on this fraudulent charge because the bank said she had to in order to keep her card in good standing. But what happens whenever you have a $0 balance? I'm just assuming she has no balance on her card and all of a sudden has $10,000 on there. Your credit score gets fucked up. And that consumer advocate dude that's on there, yeah, he mentioned that it impacts your credit score for not paying, but you know what also impacts your credit score? All of a sudden going from $0 on your credit card to $10,000. All of a sudden your credit score is going to go down significantly. Saying, oh, a crazy amount of irregular credit activity was taken over a lot of your available credit. I mean, that shit happens. I help people get home loans, and I've seen Bank of America go, hey, I see an $80 charge on your credit card last month. What happened? That doesn't typically happen with your credit cards. And it's like, I bought my kids school clothes. Oh, I don't know. This may impact the rate we give you for our home loan. I mean, that's how fucking tedious it is for them, okay? So Bank of America is full of shit when it comes to that, okay? They impacted this lady's life. Even though they gave her the money back, her time is gone. And all of a sudden, her credit score probably has this little funky up and down thing going on because she had to wait 3 months for this shit to get just, you know, righted. Bank of America did not respond to questions as about why it didn't flag the unusually large purchase as a suspected fraud in the first place. So this is interesting. So Bank of America doesn't flag it. I was just talking to someone on TikTok about this, and I'm like, well, if you use a credit card for Dunkin' Donuts, $2.17 for a medium cup of coffee every day, then that's normal. Then all of a sudden, 10,000 comes out. Yeah, the card is probably going to flag it for that. But I'm not blaming Miss Becker Margarita here on this situation, but I'm just saying she lives in San Francisco. She has $3,300 a month in rent and bills and whatnot, which tells me that she's probably bringing home the bacon. She probably makes six figures, at least combined with her husband. So she makes a lot of money. So whenever it's time to buy furniture and all of a sudden, hey, it's $4,000 for a living room set, she whips out the old credit card. Maybe she got alerted years ago. It's like, yeah, did you make a purchase from so-and-so furniture for $4,000? Yes, I did. Then all of a sudden, they type in their little computer saying this person has made a large purchase like that before. And then years later, whenever fraud happens for that amount, they go, oh, yeah, this is typical of Margarita. You know, she spent $4,000 on that furniture a few years ago. That's how it happens. And Bank of America doesn't respond to questions because their algorithm is fucking stupid. It is stupid, it is ridiculous, and it literally causes more harm than good. To wrap it up here, Margarita Becker says what might have happened to others in a similar situation, and I really think this quote is just amazing. I actually included it in my TikTok video about this. I'll link to my TikTok video in the show notes too. She said, "What if I wasn't as resolute? What if I hadn't had the perseverance and the English skills and ability to investigate and internet skills? I would have been just stuck with this bill and would have wiped out all my savings and then some." And she says she feels less trusting of people now, but she's doing one thing differently. Quote, "I now demand paper receipts everywhere," which is good. I'm glad she does. And, you know, some people prefer it. I do too. But she makes a good point. And you're talking to James Arturo Baca, someone who lives 28 miles from the Mexican border, someone who works at a bank where I would say maybe 40% of my customers spoke fluent Spanish. And there are some people who do not speak any English at all. And I don't give a shit what you say about people who do not speak English who live in this country. They need banks too. They need assistance just as much as we do when it comes to stuff like that. Sometimes even more so because of this crazy world that we live in. And she's right about the perseverance because I have seen so many people in her situation whenever they have fraud and they get denied by the bank. It's like breaking your leg or, you know, someone stealing your car. It's like, well, I just gotta go buy another car. Nothing I can do. That's just the hand that God gave me. And yeah, it tends to be people of faith who think like that. Maybe that's why I don't subscribe to a lot of, you know, faith stuff anyway. But at the same time, there's a lot of people who think that whenever something bad like this happens and the bank doesn't help them, it's just their lot in life that they gotta deal with. And that sucks. Okay, when the bank says, do you want to come to this bank for security, protection of your money, and all the other cool things that we have? That sucks whenever a bank just all of a sudden just loses the trust of that person. And she says the ability to investigate and internet skills. I had an elderly clientele who spoke Spanish. They're not doing some research online. They're not breaking precedents, you know, with legal matters and learning about their zero liability guarantee on their credit cards. They don't. And I'm not criticizing them for that. Most average people don't look at that shit. They just trust that a bank is going to do the right thing. They're going to trust that a company is going to do the right thing. She didn't because she knows that she didn't do it and she knows that the bank was treating her right. And I know she's a little bit older than me. She's in her 50s, but she's had a whole lifetime of knowing when to smell bullshit. And some people aren't good at it, but some people are great. And Margarita was. And all she needed to know that that was bullshit was a $10,000 credit card bill that seemed to be told by Bank of America and all these other places that it was a legitimate charge. And it wasn't. Because she knew that the bank said, well, we found out that it was a legitimate charge and you're denied the claim. And she had to pay that back. She's like, fuck that. I'm not going to pay this back because I didn't do it. And I'm going to prove to you I didn't do it. So she reaches out to a reporter and the reporter sniffs around. And then the bank, like the little broken down B words that they are, excuse my language, I just get so frustrated about it. They refund her the money. Of course they did because that's just what they do, okay? It's laughable how Bank of America treats customers when it comes to something like this. And all I got to say is this, okay? So you have this person who just knows that she didn't do anything wrong. And you have a bank that says, basically, without saying it, that you did it and it's your fault. Shame on you. You're stuck with this $10,000 bill. There was no fraud here. Why are you bugging us with this? I'm going to tell you a really quick story, and I'm going to wrap it up here because, well, first of all, just read the article in its entirety. I know I kind of skipped through most of it or whatever, but check it out. Support journalism where you can. I'll link to it in the show notes. You might be paywalled. You may want to F around with your browser for a while to see if you can get it without the paywall. If not, they have a half a year for 99 cents. Spend the fucking dollar, okay? You spend way more on less. Trust me on that. So I want to tell you just a really quick story. I was at a grocery store, and I had a $5 off coupon for my groceries. It was $5 off my order, and I had to figure out how much I was going to spend. So the total came out to like $3 and change with the stuff I was going to buy, which was a couple of cans of soup. I had some potato chips, and I had some crackers for the soup. So I enter in my phone number to get all my coupons, and everything works, including my $5 off coupon. But my soup is ringing up at $2.39, and there was a sale on it for 89 cents. I added the coupon to my little list there, so it should have gone off really quickly. And this was a Thursday night, so I'm over here, and I'm like, excuse me, my soup didn't come off. It was supposed to be 88 cents, and it's $2.39. I got two of them, so I should have $3.02 taken off. And immediately, it was an, oh, okay, let me fix that. Not understanding what the sale prices are in your own store. It's a, are you sure you got the right soup? Like, I'm a fucking idiot. Like, I didn't see the tag right underneath the soup. I was like, yes, I did get the right soup. I was like, do you have it on your app? And I broke out my app, and I showed Campbell's Soup, 88 cents. And I was like, are these the right ones? I clicked on the coupon. It said qualifying items. Found them on the app. So all of a sudden, she says, well, we got to check something out. So she sends this little lackey over, this little, like, cart pusher, and says, hey, can you look for this chicken noodle soup and this other soup over here? This guy's claiming that it's 88 cents, but it's really $2.39. Can you just double-check that for me? And he doesn't take the cans. And he walks to the soup aisle without the cans, just trying to remember, I guess, mental muscle memory. Like, hey, I'm looking for the soups to make sure that they're not 88 cents, that way I can tell her. And he comes back maybe about 2 minutes later, and he tells her right with me right next to her, no, they're regular price, $2.39. I said, well, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, literally, he just said that they weren't. And I was literally just right there a minute ago. And I said, I'm going to walk with you. So I walked the girl over to the soup aisle. And I was like, okay, well, we need to find these 88-cent ones because it could be in the wrong aisle. Boom, boom, found him in 2 seconds. Took this dude 2 minutes. And he fucking works there. So I'm not getting mad at him. He's just a kid. And I'm not really getting mad at this girl either because she's just a kid too. But she made it her whole point to just make it look like I was the idiot and I didn't know what the shit I was doing. She's like, oh, okay, yeah, they're 88 cents. So tell you what, we're going to void this transaction. Go ahead and start it again. So when she hit void, she also voided out my $5 off coupon. So whenever I scan all my shit, my soup coupons were 88 cents. Everything else was ringing up normally. But I was still short now $5 instead of the $3 for the soup because my $5 coupon was disqualified after she voided it out. She basically cut my coupon in half digitally at that point. And then she just made this ugh sound whenever I told her about it. No, she messed up. She messed up, and then she made it a point to just prove me wrong on the soup, and I had to walk across the store just to prove that my soup was 88 cents. It was the principle of the whole thing. Was I going to be broke because I spent $3 more on soup? No. But the fact of the matter is this. I went there because I wanted that particular thing. I took it upon myself to learn the app. I took it upon myself to clip the coupon for the soup. Everything was done right on my end. Some fluke of technology just made it not work. And all of a sudden it's like, well, you must have got the wrong soup. And that moment, which was viewed by my wife was just sitting there by the red box machine. Like, the fuck is going on over there? She viewed it. And I told her, I was like, this is why I do what I do. Because, you know, it's soup that we're complaining about over here. But to some people, it's a $10,000 charge, and the bank's just not willing to help them. The bank is doing everything they can to prove that that person's a loser, and they're wrong, and they're full of shit. I just got told I was full of shit over chicken noodle soup, and I proved them wrong. And I got that victory, but you know what I also got out of it? I got a frustrating evening. I was mad when I got home. I was just sitting there fucking watching TV stewing. And then I have this story, and I'm like, I'm going to tell this story on a podcast. And this just happened a week ago. I was like, I'm going to tell this story on a podcast. And all of a sudden, the next day, this Carolyn said San Francisco Chronicle article comes up about someone who knows that she's right. The company that she's dealing with is trying to say that she's wrong. And the proof is out there. It's just a matter of someone looking at it and connecting dots that are there instead of connecting dots that are out there, that are not out there. All I can say is this is typical Bank of America. I did a TikTok video about this. I've got 14,000 views on this video within 3 days. And I got several hundred comments, which tells me that people are watching the video in full and are asking questions about the story. I linked them to the Chronicle article through direct messages and stuff from TikTok. So I know that there's a lot of traction going on with this. So I'm really glad that I talked about it, because this is a story that is something that is so familiar to yours truly, just from working in banking and just with dealing with Bank of America's bullshit for so long. So shame on you, Bank of America. I'm glad you gave the lady her money back. But honestly, whoever had their fucking fingerprints, paw prints on her fraud claim need to be fired immediately. And of course you're not going to do that, because that's not what Bank of America does. They fire you over bullshit like, you know, leaving the lights on before you leave the branch or something like that. Anyway, I'm going to talk to you about Wells Fargo claiming that they're getting rid of a lot of fees, but in reality not really doing anything, in just a moment, so please stick around. Hey everyone, it's James, the Notorious Banker, inviting you to join me on Patreon. Yes, it's the second anniversary of patreon.com/notoriousbanker. For as little as a $1 subscription, you can help me, the Notorious Banker, fight back against big banks. Well, how do I do that? I use my brand of Vigilante Customer Service to help people recoup monthly maintenance and overdraft fees, deal with customer service issues such as check hold releases and fraud claim reversals, and the general customer service malaise that is the big banking industry. Banks like Bank of America, Chase, Citi, and Wells Fargo have big bank mindsets but very small-minded customer service skills. The Notorious Banker fights back against that. With a subscription for as little as $1 a month, you could help me, the Notorious Banker, fight on behalf of the little guy who don't realize that they have a chance to fight back against big banks if given the opportunity. Go to patreon.com/notoriousbanker for more information about me, more information about what I do, and to subscribe today to my Patreon. You'll also get additional podcast and video content, among other things, with that subscription as well. And I thank you so much for contributing, and my customers and my clients, my followers, my listeners, thank you too. All right, we're back with more Notorious Bankers. So, you know, one of the things that came up last week, of course, was Bank of America lowering their overdraft fee from $35 to $10. And as I mentioned before, I was happy that they did that, but they still need to do more in order to get rid of it altogether. There's really no point in having an overdraft fee other than to just have it. It makes no, you know, dent in their overall income, their overall revenue. The way that investment banking and loans and commercial banking, global banking and all that stuff do. So it's just really there just to be a nuisance to the poor, in my personal opinion. And every bank is having this conversation about overdraft fees. I believe Truist Bank, which is a regional bank in the southern part of the United States, got rid of their overdraft fees. But of course, our friends at Wells Fargo also announced that they were going to do something as well. And they didn't eliminate overdraft fees, which is what really bugs the shit out of me. They said they recently announced that they're going to offer ways for customers to limit overdraft-related fees. As you hear, overdraft-related is not overdraft fees. It's a byproduct of the overdraft fee. You know, it's like saying that, you know, diabetes is a food-related cause. Yeah, you know, eating the wrong kinds of food will get you diabetic. But there's more to it than just food, food, food. There's other health factors in play at that point in time. I'm not one to speak about medical shit. I'm just trying to make an analogy here. But it says, in a press release, Wells Fargo announced earlier access to direct deposits, a 24-hour grace period before incurring any overdraft fees, the elimination of several fees, and a new short-term loan built on actions the company's taken over the past several years to improve customers' experience. Mary Mack, who just sounds like a nursery rhyme character, CEO of Wells Fargo Consumer and Small Business Banking, says, "Core to Wells Fargo's evolution is making sure we stay focused on our customers first and foremost. The enhancements we're announcing today add to changes we've made previously to give our customers more choice and flexibility in meeting their needs." So, Clear Access Banking was introduced last year in 2020 for Wells Fargo, and basically it's the no overdraft fee account. Well, it's a no overdraft fee account that costs $10 a month. So they're still getting $10 a month from people in exchange for not charging overdraft fees. Overdraft Rewind in 2017 rewinds overdraft fees if a covering direct deposit is received by the next morning. And, you know, those things are important too, because a lot of times people do get overdraft fees with bad timing. That's just what it is. And it's a matter of, you know, if you're getting paid, is there a way to delay paying your bills a couple of days? That way you can make sure you don't run into that situation where you overdraft and you don't have enough time to make it right before they start charging you fees. That's the thing that bugs me about the grace period types of thing. It's a good idea in theory, but at the same time, it could lead into people taking out payday loans, borrowing money from friends and family members, and not paying them back, leading to all these, you know, civil disputes and, you know, personal disputes. Just really bugs me. Wells Fargo announced that it's going to eliminate transfer fees for customers enrolled in overdraft protection at the end of the first quarter if they use funds from a linked account. So, you know, if you're enrolled in overdraft protection, which a lot of people don't realize, you got to enroll in it. You got to acknowledge that you want to be a part of it. Not everyone is already enrolled in it, so that's going to take a visit to the bank. That's going to take you signing a form most of the time. So, you know, the bank can say that we have this available here, but you still got to get people in the branch to do it. I think short of them calling millions of customers and saying, hey, come to the branch, get this set up to make sure that we don't do this to you, I don't really see that as a successful way of avoiding overdraft fees. It says NSF fees, non-sufficient funds fees, will also be eliminated by the end of the first quarter. Customers will no longer pay a return item fee if Wells Fargo returns a check or electronic transaction unpaid because the customer does not have enough available funds in the deposit account to cover the payment. So it's all well and good. I'm glad that they don't do that. I just referenced one of my former customers who accidentally paid $23,000 to his electric bill once upon a time. It's all well and good whenever you don't charge a fee for that shit bouncing back. But as you know, I know, and I mentioned in the last podcast with Bank of America, that if you bounce a payment to a merchant, you know, you've seen those signs at some stores that say, we charge a $30 bounce check fee or whatever, because the merchants get charged a fee too. So basically, Wells Fargo's passing the buck. They're making the merchants get on your ass about having available funds and so on and so forth. And someone's still getting money off of you. It's just not the bank. It's the merchants. And while you can pinpoint the blame on the customers all you want, Wells Fargo is just basically leaving the customers out to dry and allowing the payment to attempt to go through and then bouncing back, screwing over the merchant at that point. And it says, also, customers who receive eligible direct deposits will be able to access funds up to 2 days earlier than scheduled, minimizing the potential to incur overdrafts. This new service is expected to be available in the third quarter. This whole 2 days earlier thing is something that Chime does. I've talked to Chime about sponsoring this podcast. I've talked to other banks about it. It's a gimmick. Don't get me wrong. I really do believe that it's something that is a good idea in theory. Once again, I say that, but execution, no. And the fact that Wells Fargo is putting it as, quote, eligible direct deposits tells me that it's not going to be, if you get direct deposit from McDonald's, that's probably going to go through 2 days early. I mean, because those are the type of jobs you can just get fired on the spot. You know what I mean? Like, those are things that just really come and go for someone who's younger. To me, eligible direct deposits mean it's got to be something federal or from the state, or it's got to be like one of their partner companies. Let's just pretend Walmart is a partner company, Wells Fargo. If they have a known entity that is paying you, and they go, oh, okay, yeah, we're familiar with, you know, the United States federal government or the military, VA benefits or whatever, we'll give it 2 days early because we know that the government's good for it. So you're basically being judged on what type of job you have at that point. And it also says customers who overdraw their deposit account will have 24 hours to cover the overdraft before incurring an overdraft fee. This is expected to be offered in the third quarter. Together with early access to direct deposit, the grace period expands and replaces the rewind service. Here's the problem with that. If it's 24 business hours and it's, let's say you do a Friday night and all of a sudden you have Monday afternoon to fix it, then that's cool. Because most people will overdraft their account overnight hours before they wake up. You know, all this stuff happens in their sleep. They wake up, they're overdrawn. Does the clock start when the business day starts? I don't know. If it doesn't start until you wake up, until the business day starts, then that's cool. If it's 24 hours and you overdraft on Saturday afternoon and you have until Sunday afternoon to make it right, then unless you have an ATM card to make a deposit, and that's still not going to post till Monday, you're still going to get charged a fee. So to me, this is kind of a fake helping hand. It's basically saying, hey, if you do this, we're going to help you. Yeah, only if you fuck up at the right time. You know what I mean? It's just like basically saying, hey, like, just make sure that if you have a heart attack, you have it in a place where there's cell phone service. You know, don't go to the mountains and have a heart attack because we may not be able to call the cops. I mean, you're basically just saying that, hey, if you get lucky, then cool, you may be able to fix it. Whatever. And it says, Wells Fargo will also offer qualifying customers a new short-term loan of up to $500. The loan and an upfront flat fee will be repaid through monthly installments. That'll be offered at the end of 2022. So basically, they ripped off Bank of America. And basically, all this, quote, helping people with overdraft fees news is piggybacking off of Bank of America's thing. Now, I'm not one to defend Bank of America. You know this, man. You know that I just hate Bank of America with all of my guts, okay? But Wells Fargo stole a lot of their thunder by announcing this shit the next day and saying, hey, we're just like Bank of America. No, if you gave me a choice between what Bank of America did and what Wells Fargo did to, quote, help customers with all this fee nonsense going on the last week, I'm going to say Bank of America won in a first-round knockout. I'm going to say Bank of America did a much better job in actually trying to help these people. Wells Fargo still has the overdraft fee here. They just basically got rid of the riffraff of the fee and basically said, hey, if you overdraft, you have a day to pay it off. If not, then we're going to charge you a fee. That still alienates people who don't have a lot of money. That still alienates people who have unique ways of doing things, of working, of sleeping, of deciding when to go to the bank or choosing not to have a debit card. And, you know, there's so much of that going on. And that's the thing that bugs me about it, is this theater. And, you know, I listen to podcasts about COVID and all this stuff. And it's not because I seek it out. You know, I listen to my favorite podcast and they just happen to talk about it. And one of the biggest things that one of the guys I listen to, his name is Derek Thompson, he's a writer for The Atlantic, says about, you know, the whole COVID situation is the theater of COVID. The fact that, you know, when you go to a restaurant, there's someone spraying the shit out of your table to make sure that there's no germs there, even though it's been proven that, you know, it's a 1 in 10,000 shot that you can get COVID from a surface area. That's just not how it's transmitted. But it's this whole theater of, well, hey, look what we're doing to keep you safe. And that's what Wells Fargo is doing here. It's like, hey, we're getting rid of this fee that no one ever gets charged. We're getting rid of that fee that no one ever gets charged. We're giving you your paycheck 2 days early, but it has to be these eligible direct deposits. And it's from people that we know and trust and we know that aren't fraudulent. I mean, it's just this whole theater of, look at all this stuff we're giving you. It's fluffing it up. You know, if this was a porn movie, this Wells Fargo news would be the fluffer before the actual scene. And go ahead and Google that. Just make sure you're not at work if you're not familiar with what a fluffer is. But all I got to say is this is just phony news. This is like, I hate using that phrase because of the person who said it before. But at the same time, this isn't news. This is getting rid of stuff that doesn't make them a lot of money under the guise of, hey, we're going to save a lot of customers a lot of money, when they're really not. Because they're trying to get you to do direct deposit, which helps the bank out. They're trying to get you to take out this loan, which helps the bank out, which keeps you loyal to the bank. They're trying to make all these things happen to keep you loyal to Wells Fargo, that they got rid of a bunch of things that didn't really matter, that doesn't really impact their bottom line. Because guess what? They made $6 billion last quarter, too. It's the theater of helping with overdraft fees, and it's getting really tiresome, I guess, online. There's some people who are eliminating it altogether. That's fine. If you need to enroll in a program to get rid of them altogether, I'm all for that, as long as it doesn't hurt a customer. Bank of America and Wells Fargo really need to take a look in the mirror, though, and see, hey, is this news really going to help people, or is this just the theater of helping people, and we're still going to get kudos and thumbs up from the banking industry about what a job we're doing to make sure that the customer isn't harmed? Whatever. I'm going to link to this Wells Fargo news in the show notes. I got to say that once these products roll out, I'm curious to see what social media looks like when people are still getting charged overdraft fees. And they say, hey, but I thought Wells wasn't. Hey, I thought Bank of America wasn't. No, they still are. They just kind of rejiggered things to make it look like they're actually trying to help you and care about you. I'm back to wrap it up, but with one final note about Bank of America and Major League Baseball getting a divorce after this. So please stick around. Hey everyone, it's James, the Notorious Banker, inviting you to join me on TikTok. That's at Notorious Banker on TikTok. Yeah, I know it's kind of weird to have a 38-year-old on TikTok, but you know, I was so inspired by people who share couponing deals on there, home and car hacks, among other things. It's a very influential place to be right now, and you can get a lot of traction with a lot of people fast. And I really think my brand of humor, along with banking news and information and stories about unethical things going on in big banks, fits perfectly on TikTok. No, I won't be doing a lot of dancing, but what I will be doing is a lot of information giving to you, the general public, you know, the 67 million people who bank at Bank of America, the 30 million plus at Bank of Wells Fargo. You need to know the stories and you need to know the tea behind what's going on in the banking world. So if you join me on TikTok at Notorious Banker, I am going to blow your mind. I'm going to try to make you laugh as well, but I'm going to keep it informational and I'm going to keep it fun. So join me on TikTok today. That's at Notorious Banker. All right, and I'm back to wrap it up here in just a second, but I wanted to just let you know, and I'll link to it in the show notes, just some brief blurb that happened yesterday, and it was that Bank of America and Major League Baseball are ending their partnership. Major League Baseball has been in business with Bank of America since 2004, since 1 year before I started working at Bank of America, and they were there for the last 17 years straight. If you're familiar with Major League Baseball and watched a World Series game or how any just baseball game at any point in time, in the last 17 years, you've probably seen a lot of Bank of America just advertising vomit all over the walls, all over the dugout poles, on the backstop. I mean, you've seen it everywhere. Bank of America is omnipresent. I went to a spring training game. The first time I ever saw the Cubs play, I saw them play a couple years after that. A spring training game with the Cubs and the Brewers about 10 years ago, and there was Bank of America banker idiots, the same job that I have, sitting at a banquet table, a buffet table, right next to the bathrooms of the spring training stadium, trying to pitch Bank of America Chicago Cubs credit cards. And I was like, that would be a sweet job. I literally thought that. I was like, that would be a sweet job to be able to come to the baseball game and get some credit card applications and be out in the fresh air and so on and so forth, until I realized that I would have to fucking work on a Sunday to open up credit cards and probably get yelled at for not getting enough credit cards. Like, oh, James, there was a capacity of 4,000 seats in this stadium and you only got 3 credit cards? You need to try harder this time. I'm like, no, fuck that. I wouldn't want to do that. Plus, you're next to the bathrooms as well, and I'm sure you've been into a sporting events bathrooms. It's not fun at times. That's all I got to say. Bank of America sent a letter out to its cardholders saying that Major League Baseball customized cash rewards card would just become a basic plain Jane Bank of America cash rewards card because their relationship is ending with MLB, which is fine. I'm glad that they're not, you know, just changing their card from the cash rewards Major League Baseball card to some plain Jane no rewards card. At least they're allowing their customers to still earn cash back on there, which is 1.5% back on all purchases. It's better than nothing at that point, because I had a card that was branded and then they discontinued the company they were doing business with, and mine came a Bank of America card that literally has no benefit to it whatsoever. This is Bank of America has been MLB's official bank since 2004, although it has had the credit card portfolio since before then. MLB is expecting to announce a new banking partnership before the start of the season. Because B of A is converting cardholders to a B of A product, it's clear that the new banking partner has not purchased the bank book from B of A. And why would B of A fucking do that? Because they're not stupid. The answer to that is Capital One is going to be partnering with Major League Baseball to create Capital One branded cards with Major League teams, possibly checking and savings accounts as well, like Bank of America had. So kudos to Capital One. They might get more customers out of that. And trust me, they will get more customers out of that, because that advertising vomit is going to be all over the walls of Major League parks again, and it's going to have giant Capital One signs everywhere. I don't normally feel bad for Bank of America bankers, especially those idiots that were up against the restrooms of a spring training park on a Sunday trying to sell people credit cards. But the one thing that I can tell you that made me successful in all my years as a personal banker at Bank of America was the fact that Bank of America had a partnership with Major League Baseball, and Bank of America had a partnership with the National Football League until they realized a lot of the NFL teams weren't in the markets that Bank of America was in at the time. So they only did business with the Cowboys, Patriots, Washington Football Team, formerly the Redskins, and the Carolina Panthers, which is in Charlotte, HQ of Bank of America. Dallas Cowboys was natural, okay? I'm in Cowboys country over here. You see some of the Dallas Cowboys shirt, you can say, hey, we have a Dallas Cowboys debit card to match that shirt. And especially if someone's a diehard fan, it was easy to get them in the office. The easiest thing was college kids. Whenever you'd walk in to the bank and I'd go to my office and I'd see someone waiting to open up an account and they had an LA Dodgers hat, I was like, hey, man, did you see that Dodgers game last night? Oh, yeah, Clayton Kershaw, hell of a pitcher. He's going to the Hall of Fame for his ballot. You know, I saw that hat on you whenever you walked in, and I gotta tell you that we do have LA Dodgers banking products. There's no additional charge for the checking account itself. So basically what it is you get a credit card with the LA Dodgers logo and the cap on there. We do have the option for the credit card, which does have the LA Dodgers jersey on the credit card as well. You can get checks that have all that on there. I mean, you can tout your allegiance to your favorite team just by banking here. And with your direct deposit from your job, you're not going to ever pay a penny towards a fee for us over here, a monthly fee. And we'll get you that card now. I'm not going to get you the Dodgers card yet. I have to give you this red one. But in about a week, you're going to get that Dodgers gear. And I want you to have conversations, man. You go to the store, you talk to people, and they're like, oh, we don't accept that card here. And you talk to people. I say it's a good conversation starter. Trust me. Dude, I got so many fucking customers, especially LA Dodgers, Arizona Diamondbacks, Chicago Cubs, my team. So many people went in just for that. And during the World Series run of 2016, when my Cubs won the World Series, I was selling Chicago Cubs debit and credit cards left and right. Helped my sales goals. It helped me get a lot of bonus money as well. I'm sure it helped a lot of people in those markets where the major league teams were get their bonus money as well. It was a successful thing. But with successful partnerships comes one thing too. People want more money. Of course, Major League Baseball is probably hard up for money now because of the lockout, because they're trying to just maximize their profit. And there's a lot of shit going on with baseball that is not suitable for this podcast because it's not a sports podcast. But there's a lot of things they're doing that are just shady as hell, even more shady than Bank of America. And they probably wanted to hit them up for more money. And the bank saying, hey, do we want a bunch of scrubby customers just coming to our bank for New York Yankees debit cards? Yeah, no, not really. The rich people don't really care about shit like that. So let's end our partnership. So Bank of America just basically got all the juice out of this relationship over 17 years and just said, we're done. We have no more need for this as well. So this partnership ends. Capital One, I'm sure, is going to try to freshen it up a little bit. Since there's not a lot of Capital One branches, I can't speak for if the sales goals are going to be thriving because of these products. But I can tell you and vouch for you that it was a successful part of my tenure at Bank of America, was to be able to sell these branded cards. Because what can you do to liven up a fucking boring bank is you go to people's brains and their heartstrings and you go, hey, this team that you like, I have a card for them and I'm going to tell you how to get this for no charge. And I would just have people eating out of the palm of my hand. So to the bankers of Bank of America who no longer are going to have these products to sell to their customers, good luck, because you're going to get in trouble because you're not going to be able to sell these accounts that well whenever you don't have branded content like this. And I know a lot of you are thinking, really, does it really matter that much? I can do a whole podcast about whenever Bank of America got rid of Hello Kitty. Whenever Hello Kitty got discontinued at Bank of America, I have never seen so many people leave the bank. And I've seen the bank do some horrible shit. But when Hello Kitty left the bank, I literally saw hundreds of people end their relationship at Bank of America just because we didn't have a Hello Kitty card. And I remember we didn't have a Betty Boop card anymore, and there were several people who left the bank at that point. So this is going to be an interesting thing. We'll see what Bank of America does next. I hope that they don't do their corporate feces on any of the other sports leagues that I like. And I hope Bank of America just continues to underwhelm us with service and underwhelm us with all this bullshit that they put us through. But be on the lookout for the Capital One branded MLB content soon. As for yours truly, I'm going to wrap it up. I got 72 notifications on my TikTok and I got 12 notifications on my Twitter. So I got to wrap this shit up. So this is the Notorious Banker podcast. You can find me on Twitter at BankBetterGuy. You can find me on TikTok at Notorious Banker. For those of you who want to support the cause, donate at least $1 a month. Subscribe for at least $1 a month to patreon.com/notoriousbanker. Each donation, each subscription allows me to fight back against big banks for the people who need the help to fight back against big banks. Yours truly is a 13-year veteran of the banking industry. I love what I do. I love more what I do now. And I really want to show people that there's this whole other world out there that's willing to learn about how banks are and how banks need to treat them better. Well, I'm going to be the person who leads the charge and making sure that banks respect their customers. Banks help their customers, and while we do that, I'm going to tell some funny stories why you shouldn't trust these banks at the end of the day. So until we meet again, friends, my name is James the Notorious Banker, signing off. I'll be back with another podcast next week or as breaking news warrants, but in the meantime, check out all of my content on my feed and check out my social media for more information and more news lampooning and making fun of the banking industry, all while fighting back. I hope you have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you really soon. Goodbye.